Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In this week's episode of Triple T,
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I'm not going to keep telling y'all to grow up and leave that Stella and Barefoot alone.
Nothing nice. Worse than a bourbon snob, isn't there?
People are, that's how you drink bourbon. It's like, who gives a shit how I drink my bourbon?
I love being outside during the winter. Like, you know, in around here where I live, you know, I'm looked at like a psychopath. I can bring it. Yeah. I can always have a turkey in here. So we were. Oh, you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. We were mid conversation. I pressed record.
And talk about like, hey. the deluxe edition network and all that.
Hell yeah, let's go. It's Triple T. It doesn't mean it's TikTok Tuesday. We're just having a good conversation from anything about cameras to Star Wars to how, you know,
fidgets.
We don't even have to show TikToks anymore. But if we show them, that's cool. So if anybody has something clever, he had a good one. Was it True Talk Tuesday?
Or? True Talk Tuesday.
True Talk Tuesday. Taco Talk Tuesday. Turkey Trotting Tuesday.
I mean, I do have turkeys. I can bring it. Yeah. I can always have a turkey in here.
That would be a bit of a curious. Maybe one of these days when the weather's nice, you're doing it from the turkey pen and or whatever. I don't know if it's a turkey pen, but either way, I don't know. I'm not good words. But either way, lots of words. Deluxe Edition Network. You guys, check them out. DeluxeEditionNetwork.com. We got the 3 podcasts of the month. It's the last time you're going to hear, I think I'll say it on January. Yeah. Last one of January because next one. Nope, just kidding. There's another one. Holy shit. I was thinking it was the 29th already. It's only 21st.
Nah, bro.
All right. Couple more on the there, but either way, it's Bev's Video Kingdom Barrel Age Flicks, which we were talking about backstage, how they watch movies, talk about movies, sit around a table, drink some alcohol, and have a good time. Which, if you guys are listening, you guys should reach out. Have Toby. I don't think he's going to be able to make it to West Virginia unless your budget's pretty good to bring him there. But he has the ability to do this and get him on there. He's a movie. What's the right word? I almost said fiend. He's a movie
buff.
Buff. He's a buffed movie buff. And
I like movies, but I'm not as in depth as a lot of people though. You know what I mean? Like I don't get so into it. Like, don't ask me about directors. I don't care. Like my movie watching, like when people are like, what's your favorite kind of movie? I don't fucking know, man. That's like asking me what my favorite song is of what genre. Well, what's your favorite genre? What kind of music do you listen to? All of it. I listen to all of it. Except for old time twangy country and like die hard, like rap, like gangster, like die hard gangster rap and screamo hardcore metal. Like those are the only things I don't listen to.
Yeah.
Just like,
I don't think a lot of them
still watch any movie if it keeps me interested, but it has to keep me interested.
Yeah. And I have to imagine they do a lot of planning too, to be like, hey, And if it's even a little bit better because if you're watching the movie while you're doing the podcast, and you've probably already seen it, they do everything, you know, obviously on Christmas time, like Krampus and, you know, stuff like that. And then Halloween, they did some scary movies and they have a really good thing. Like, that's just a cool idea. And I'm all about it.
That, like, I don't know why it is, but I watch a ton. I watch a ton of YouTube creators that just do, they watch movies and react to it while they're watching. I think it's because it's like nostalgic for me. It's like nostalgic when we were growing up, you'd sit around and you'd go rent a movie and you'd sit with your friends and watch it. And you would just kind of bullshit about the ridiculous stuff that's happening on the movie. Or you all reacting to the same thing. And it gives you that kind of feeling to it.
100%. Like, yeah.
Have you, oh my God, have you ever seen the movie, The Room?
The Room.
Tommy Wiseau. So if the name doesn't sound familiar, this quote will. I did not sleep with her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Mm-hmm. That does.
That's The Room. I have found that movie. Now, mind you, the only reason I know the name of the director is because the movie is so bad. So, of course, you know his name, Tommy Wiseau. His name is all over the place. Mm-hmm. That is one of those movies that is a horrible movie, but is amazing to watch with your friends.
Yeah. The one that we watched the most growing up was Dumb and Dumber. Whether you like, cult classic, this and that, but I mean, it was, you always picked up different stuff, the quotes, like it was just on because there wasn't a bunch of other shit to watch or do. And it was on and you were shooting the shit with the boys, you know, maybe playing, we would do that and play a lot of cards, played a lot of pitch, a lot of nickel dime poker and shit, you know?
So you mentioned you want to talk about bringing back some nostalgia. So, I was on the high school swim team, and in Minnesota, the high school girls swim team is the very first season, right? So you got football and it's girls swimming while football is going on. And then you got guys swimming right after.
Okay.
And like season wise
or practice wise?
Season wise. So it would be girls season and then it would be the guys season. And all of the girls swimmers and guys swimmers, like we all knew each other. Like we were all friends. We all hung out. I think it was probably that whole, you know, because everybody makes fun of swimmers kind of thing when you're in high school type. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of had that family type feeling like, hey, we all get picked on. Who gives a shit?
See, I didn't really know. Like I've never heard that because my school didn't have a pool. We were so goddamn small. So I didn't know anybody that ever swam. Like for us, it was weird. They made fun of like band people. We didn't have a marching band, but other schools did. So there was always like the band nerds, but it wasn't like,
had the band. Yeah. You always had the band people that would, and my wife was in the band. Actually I think she was band. Yeah. She played the flute. But you either had like the band people, but when it came to sports, it was always whatever sports, you know, like the football and wrestlers, the football players and the wrestlers thought was the weakest. So if you didn't have swimming, it'd probably be like soccer or something like that.
Tennis.
Yeah. Which was funny because I played football. I was in wrestling, track, swimming, water polo, baseball, softball.
Water polo's brutal, isn't it?
Bro, best workout I've ever had in my life was playing. It
has to be
playing water polo. I mean, you don't ever hang on to the sides. You got to tread water the entire time, or you're swimming the whole time. Like, you don't go under the water. Like, so
it's like when you're in a lake or a river or something the whole time, and you know you can't touch, and you're just hanging out there. But most of the time, you're just like hanging on a floaty or a tube or something. But that's a whole goddamn sport. Like, how long are shifts? We're typical, like, for you to be out there, and you know, like, we're hockey and some other sports, you go as hard as you can for that. And I don't even know anything about water polo except I've seen it on Olympics and shit, and I'm just I'm tired watching it.
Yeah, so we do. So just to let you know, there's no like, it's not like in basketball or football where you have people that come in and go out. And
oh really,
if I remember correctly, man, it's been a while. If I remember correctly, it was 15 minute halves.
Okay.
So you'd be doing that hard for 15 straight minutes and then you'd take a short break and then it'd be another 15 minutes. In the Olympics, I believe they just go straight through. I don't think that there's, well, they might have period breaks or half breaks.
And there's six people and a goalie?
Six people and a goalie, I believe.
Okay. And the reason I just looked up CarolinaWaterPolo.com basic rules.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina. And it said, six field players, one goalie, and you have teams up to 15 players.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
pass, catch, and you only get one hand.
Yes, only one hand. You can't, there's no double handing it and throwing it. It's everything's like, so in the Olympics, you'll see them like kind of treading water, but you'll see one hand up with the ball and they'll constantly be going like this. It's because there's somebody in front of your face. And that ball that they use is almost like a tether ball. It's like a real,
I was wondering.
It's kind of got like a grip on it. Like it's like a real like sandpapered kind of textured grip. Dude, if that thing skips across the water and pops you in the face, it's pain.
I bet.
It is pain.
It's crazy. Because like you said, you're watching the Olympics. They're treading water. They're swimming one hand. And then you got these guys playing defense. And it, like they're here. They're jumping out. And you're just like, you got to remember, like they're in a what?
Yeah, they're just kicking their legs pool? Like this or kicking like that real hard.
Pool? Like how deep's the pool?
Usually 10 foot.
Yeah.
10 to 12. Yeah.
God damn. And Olympic and collegiate pool sizes are 30 meters, so 150 foot by 20 meters or 60 feet.
Yep.
Wow.
It's tiring, man.
Could that be the most tiring sport? Like soccer, they run, but not all the time. Midfielders are on the move. Attackers only attack when they're there. Defense is usually standing around unless it's there. Goalies are chilling, you know. That to me is there. I mean, then you have cross country and stuff. It's not as tiring because these guys are in shape. They practice, you know what I mean? It's me and you want to go run a 5K. We're going to probably struggle. I know I'm going to struggle, but like these guys, a 5K, I'm going to run a 5K to warm up for a 5K and then cool down with a 5K. Cause that's what they do. So I'm not counting that, but
I mean, that was me in the military. Like while I was in the military, I could run. I am not in the military anymore. Have not been. Oh man, this October will be a decade.
Well, it's got to imagine, you know, you ran, probably did push-ups and shave almost every day. Those are three things you don't care probably to ever do in your entire life, you know?
Yes.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because most of my buddies that were military now grow nice beards, don't go for jogs, and are not crushing push-ups.
I'm trying to get myself back in a little bit of better shape. So while I'm at work now, since I work from home currently, I've got an alarm set. So every 30 minutes, I'll get down, knock out 25 pushups, 25 sit-ups, and then 25 like flutter kicks. And then I'll plank for 2 minutes.
Smart.
Yeah.
They build up too. You do it every day.
Yeah. I've been doing it now for about 2 months. I mean, the 25 push-ups and 25 sit-ups, that's not a problem anymore. I mean, I could increase it, but I just want to keep it at that.
Yeah, you're not looking to get jacked and run.
You're talking about
play
every 30 minutes over 8 hours. I mean, I'm getting in plenty of push-ups and sit-ups without the need to do more each sitting.
Nothing worse than planking and just having that shake. Ugh. I know, I've been thinking too, maybe it's because where I am and there's winter and I can't really do anything. But it's like every winter, all I want to do is I want to go on these hikes. I want to do this. And it's you can still do them, but it's tough with the kids. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, me and the dog are going to go drive 45 minutes one way to go on a hike without you guys. Have fun.
I love being outside during the winter, like, you know, in around here where I live, you know, I'm looked at like a psychopath, you know, because it's North Carolina. You know, we went out to go check on the chicken sickles this morning. Because the feels like temperature was 6 degrees, you know, and
that's cold,
we're checking out the chickens and the wife is out there. I mean, she is just bundled up. Now, granted, she's from Minnesota, too, but she's like, I don't think my body has ever fully acclimated to an environment outside of Minnesota because like that temperature gets up over 73 degrees and I'm immediately miserable. If it's over 73, immediately miserable.
Yeah.
The wife, if it's below 68, she's immediately miserable. So we have kind of a rougher time in the house, but we went outside today. I've got this new Whoopi style hoodie. So it's made of like that military poncho liner. Mm-hmm. And then I've got that, that eye hood heated vest. But I didn't have it turned on. I just had the poncho hoodie. I just had the Whoopi hoodie and that vest. I zipped it up to about here, and I'm walking around. I didn't have my gloves on. I'm taking, because all the water's frozen, so I got to pull the top sheet of ice off of all the water buckets, and I'm just dipping my hand in there and, putting them back in my pocket. And she's just walking around looking like a little Inuit, all completely bundled up in, seal fur, and she's got this giant, thick, fluffy hat that's got, little bunny ears on it. She's absolutely adorable, not going to lie. But I was just looking at her. I'm like, you good? She's like, I'm cold. I need to get back inside. I was like, okay. I'm going to go walk around with the turkey, because anywhere I walk, the turkey will follow me. So
just follow. Turkey trotting Tuesday, baby.
Mm-hmm. You
know what else keeps you warm? Bourbon. Speaking of bees and tree. And we got the Fat Baby Bourbon. And I don't know if you knew this, but they completely sold out. 100% sold out. They couldn't believe it. Is it because of this show and this brand? No, but I'd like to think so, because it happened just as we became friends of the show, so I'd like to take a little credit for it, but they did have a viral article that they did from, the New York Times picked it up and everything. It got pretty big. And
oh, nice.
So they are back in stock, which is amazing, and like I said, it's good stuff. Good people behind the company, and I absolutely love it. If you're looking for a little bit of a tear-wrenching story, go to their About Us page on fatbabybourbon.com and hear about how it is, how it came to be. And obviously, you see it on my whiskey tower over there. You might not see it, but the people might see it, and it's pretty good. I'm not like a bourbon. I keep saying it, I don't overly know bourbon. It wasn't something that I drank a lot of, but I know what I like, and this is good. I noticed that I do like it with a little bit of ice. Maybe, there's some people, that's how you drink bourbon. It's like, who gives a shit how I drink my bourbon? What I mean? I enjoy it.
There's nothing worse than a bourbon snob, isn't there? If you're going to come to me and ask me, hey, what bourbon would you recommend? I'm going to give you my recommendation. I'm going to give you the recommendation of the bourbon to drink. I'm not going to recommend how you drink it.
Yeah.
I also like to have some ice with mine, or I'll just put a little, depending upon the bourbon, I'll take just a little bit of cold water, and I'll just just a little bit to smooth it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't let I don't understand people that feel the need, are so snobbish that they feel the need to tell you how to enjoy something that you enjoy.
Yeah. It's like, well, and this is a 4-year-old bourbon. And they're like, well, technically a bourbon has to be. And I'm like, ah, cool. Yeah, I don't really give a shit about your technicality, and nor do I know that. I know that this company had a cool story. They're friends of the show. It's really good. I like it with ice or a little water. And yeah, it's 4 years, and I love the label and stuff. And being a guy in New York, they're from New York. It's awesome. Don't go buy it then if you don't want to. Or try it and be like, holy shit, you are right. Drink it without ice. Drink it 2 fingers, 3 fingers. I don't know any of that shit. I put it in a Flintstones cup that I got at a thrift store. And I sip
cool
it,
cup,
and it's
though.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's a cool cup.
Yeah, we got this for a quarter. Well, there was 4 of them for $1, and I'm like, oh shit! The OG, people, you used to be able to get this shit from McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking man,
the old McDonald's cups, or they'd have the McDonald's cups with Garfield and all the old cartoon characters on.
Yep,
dude. So speaking of them selling out, have you heard about this Josh Wine?
Josh Wine. Mm-mm.
Come on in.
I'm going to Google it.
Okay. So Josh Wine it's $6.99. All right. It's really cheap wine, and it went viral because of the label. It just simply says Josh. That's the name of the wine.
Is it Josh and Sellers?
Yeah.
Or yeah. You go
Josh Sellers. And right here, their sales have gone through the roof because people were kind of making fun of the wine because of the label and everything. And there was all these TikToks about it. And so, of course, because this went so viral, you got news sources picking up on it. You've got people writing Daily Mail's doing articles and things like that. And every once in a while, TikTok makes me wish that I invested in companies better.
Yeah.
Because the moment you see something like that, you're like, I'm going to immediately, as soon as you start seeing more than the moment that you start seeing multiple videos being made from it.
Interesting.
You got to go. It was $6.99. So I don't know if they've now bumped up their price since then.
Interesting. Yeah, like I said, this is just from, for anybody just listening, joshsellers.com. Not a friend of the show, but this is a cool story about, yeah, they're $17.99. But then there's this article right here from bonappetit.com that said Josh Wine was viral before the memes. And mm-hmm. they go into here, and like you said, this King Pisces is on there. And, you know, he put on X or Twitter, "I'm not going to keep telling y'all to grow up and leave that Stella and Barefoot alone."
Ah, look what she brings me. Look at this.
Ooh. You know, there's pictures of on the beach with this Josh Wine and stuff. But yeah, I did see when I was Googling it earlier that it said, yeah, it was like, how did the $8 wine or $7 wine or whatever, $6.99 wine go viral? Right here, yeah. $8 Josh Wine takes internet by storm. Makers having a good laugh at all the memes. It's a California wine company.
Yeah. And now they're laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, because you see the article says it was $6.99, $8.99. Now it's $17.99. I'm sure they're still selling out.
Yeah, this right here, sfchronicle.com picked it up and said how this $20 California wine became the internet's favorite joke. And wine apparently rarely ever goes viral in such a mainstream way, according to this article. And then, like you said, there's all this stuff on X and this and that. In other words, this apparently these people say that it is a step up in price. Josh bottles typically go for $15 to $20, higher than the $10 or less you'll pay for Barefoot and Stella Rose. But the Twitterverse didn't need a wine critic to tell them that it's not much of an improvement in quality. Well, you know, it's
the wife brought me some beer.
Ooh, what do you got? Bull Durham. Oh, that's cool. That's a cool can too. Of course.
So they've got Bull Durham and Bull Durham Light. Mm-hmm. So obviously just reverse the colors and that's their Bull Durham Light can.
Yep.
I like buying local. When it comes to beers, I like to try out local beers rather than go with your Budweiser, or your Coors, which the Coors hand grenades, those are still my favorite. Like the original Coors Banquet in the shorty, in the stubby bottle.
Can you get Mickey's still down there? My buddy, when he was living in Georgia.
I have not seen Mickey's in probably 5 years.
Yeah, they were made by the same company as Miller, I do believe. And when my buddy was in Georgia, he was stationed down there, and a couple of the other buddies moved down there and stayed there for a while. But that's all they were drinking was Mickey's, and it's a malt liquor. And we're gonna locate it. Obviously, I'm a Jenny guy, so don't. But I tell you right now, if I could get my hand on those Mickey grenades, like you were kind of talking about,
yeah.
Oh shit,
the Mickey hand grenades, man. Like they're iconic.
They are. And the logo, you know, if somebody's holding everything.
Yeah, you know, if somebody's holding just this tiny little green bottle, you know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's not going to be the greatest tasting thing you've ever had. But
so according to the internet, in a rough zip code near a location near you, which obviously I will not there, a Food Lion. Apparently, let me take off this dark reader because it's hard to. There's a Cape Fear beverage.
Okay.
A Carly CS. Eagle's Nest, Stop and Shop, Duncan Junction, Shally Beat, Pantry Shop, and some other places that might ring a bell, might not, but Mickey's.com, you can go to the locator, type it all in. Guarantee you there's nothing near me.
Let me see, because you mentioned Food Lion, which is, that's the big one around here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to show not obviously the map, but I'm going to show everybody that hasn't seen the iconic logo and bottle. This is what it is. Obviously, 40s, 24s, but the little grenades. Oh, baby.
What are they, like 8 ounces, the grenades, or 10 ounces?
I thought they were 10. Yeah, they're still 12.
Are they?
Yep, 12 ounces.
See, I thought they were smaller.
No, they're pretty decent size, at least the ones that I had. There was some other ones, like Schlitz and some other ones that had the, like, 6 or 8 ounces. Mickey, don't, I'm going to tell you right now, don't mess with any Mickey's ice beer.
No.
No bueno. No bueno.
It's like Steel Reserve.
That's not even a nice beer. I went on a kick Steel Reserve for a little bit, and it was like a week. And every time it was like drinking gasoline. I can't talk about beer and not have one. So I'm grabbing a beer while you're looking that up. But yeah, the Food Lion, it said, which I think was kind of near you. Like I said, you can put it in the...
Yeah, it's right there. It's right down the road. Like, that is
but
right
they might, down the road. They might not have the... Like, a lot of those stores, I know a Genesee, when you punch it in, it might say, hey, like for you, and for instance, there was one near you, but they only had Jenny Ice. So they might not have a full product line, but Food Lion's pretty big. You'd think that they, if anybody's going to have, you know, just about all of them. But I'm going to tell you what, I got my hands. I drove 3 hours round trip to grab the Genesee new citrus pills.
How are
those?
It's
like a lemon lime kind of one. It's pretty good.
See, I like the ones like that. It's like the, like I love the line, like my go-to beer during the summer is Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy.
Okay. Yeah. What's the one? There was one that tastes almost like a Fruity Pebbles Leinenkugel. And I would drink that a decent amount when it was
seasonal
as well. They
have a berry one.
I forget what it was, but yeah, this is the lemon. It's lime. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, like I said, the distribution place around me doesn't carry it. I called 7 different stores because the kid had a game in an area near a city that I knew would have it. And I called this place, didn't have it. So I called this, I forget the name of it. It was a little gas station and somebody answers, hello? I'm like, hey, I'm just wondering if you had the Genesee pills. The what? I'm like, the Genesee pills, you know, the new one. Yeah, we have it. The new Genesee? Yeah, we have it. Okay, stop by, bye. I was like, there's no fucking chance that they have it, but they know that if I'm going to come in there, I'm going to probably buy something. It's like, And then on my brain went, there's a store that sells like a ton of different beer that you can't get out of there. It's called Bear World. And you go in there and it has a huge walk-in cooler. There was one 12-pack of that left, and there was a 12-pack of my favorite, the Crayon Orange Fall one, and it was like the most glorious day ever.
I wish we had a beer place like that. Like, in all honesty, the best place for me to get alcohol, whether it be beer or liquor, is going to be Fort Bragg.
Yeah, they bring military some different stuff in.
Yep. I mean, you want to talk about people that you need to satisfy drinking habits. You go to a military base. It's essentially just every shop at every PX, they all sell alcohol. Like, you can't sell alcohol in a gas station in North Carolina, but you can as long as it's on a military base.
Yep.
So you go there, every gas station, it's just lined walls of liquor and like coolers full of beer.
Yeah, why not make it convenient for people? Come on, North Carolina. I mean, here you can get alcohol
for me,
anywhere.
I've got a... Convenient for me, it's a 20-minute drive, and I've got a military ID, so.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, when he used to go, there's Fort Drum that's fairly close to us, mm-hmm. and he used to go on there and get a lot of stuff, cheap liquor, cheap alcohol, stuff like that, and I got to go with him a couple of times. It's the only times I've really been on the base, to be honest, you know. It's a city within a city.
And its prices is usually lower, and it's tax-free.
Yep. And you know what I mean? Like you're getting access to stuff that you probably aren't going to get. They have different distribution stuff, and there's people from all over the country that are out around the bases. But that maybe that's $1 million idea, Toby. We open a store in North Carolina that has beer from all over the place.
Mm.
As long as there's a market for people that like beer from all over the place.
It's like if you really like food from foreign countries, if you're in the U.S., by foreign country is what I mean.
Yep.
So if you're in the U.S. and you like places from foreign countries, so another benefit that military bases have is their commissaries, right? Their grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have military bases from all around the world, we have soldiers, obviously, that have families and spouses from all around the world.
Yep.
So the commissaries, unlike when you go to... you know, a grocery store wherever you live locally, and you might see a Hispanic aisle or, you know, like a German aisle. Like they have aisle after aisle of European, you know, you've got your German, you've got your French cuisines, you got like all these different, like direct from those countries. Their meat departments have different types of meat and fish from all different countries. Same with the cheeses. Like, dude.
Oh, Jesus.
Best place. Yeah. Best place for me to go grocery shopping, if we have the time to do it, is to go onto a military installation. It's phenomenal.
I had a buddy that, obviously we were much younger and he thought he was a stud, and he would try to go to bigger cities that had grocery stores, and he loved trying to pick up chicks / maybe single moms at grocery stores. Like, that was his thing. He tried to get numbers, this and that. And it's funny.
You had somebody that did that cliche shit.
Oh yeah. And he thought he would, but his thing was, dude, they had these different aisles. So like, maybe if I want, like, you know, a Korean, or maybe, you know, I just have to hang out in these aisles for a little bit, strike up some conversations. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And legit, he would drive a decent amount to try to do this. And I'm like, oh. Guess, is last time I checked, guess what his success rate was?
I'm going to say 50%.
From what I understand, definitely below 25%. Might even be zero. Because, you know, dude rules. He's going to always be like, yeah, I definitely, you know, picked up like X amount. You know, you can instantly subtract or divide by however many. I'm pretty sure it never worked for him. Wasted.
Are you
money.
One of those? Are you one of those guys, Matt?
I don't really tell the numbers, but if I was, I would be real with it. I don't have anything to hide or exaggerate about, especially something stupid like that.
But you I've it's rare for me to find somebody that's over the age of 25. That's not like brutally honest with their number game if they're asked, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've always been honest. Besides my own wife, 4.
That's pretty easy counting, you know. And it's
4. Pretty easy counting. Yeah. Yeah. And if somebody were to do that all guys, you know, number math, you'd have to reduce me to 0.
I've never. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've never been off, to
yeah, going off the way they say it, they go, well, you got to divide it by 3, or divide it by half, and then subtract by half of that. And you're like,
but as you get older, though, I think that's a young man's game. As you get older, then you have to say, okay, you've been married. Fair enough. There's an automatic guarantee. You've been married multiple times, maybe. Okay, there's a couple. You know that there's some of your numbers. You know what I mean? Your first 2 ended because you were cheating on your wife. So there's at least another couple more. And then you sprinkle it, you know what I mean? So there's some guaranteed as these people get older that they can't play this game. Like, I've been with 4. Cool, you've been married 3 times, you cheated on 2 of them. That's fucking 5. And that's all, and that's basic number. You're cheating on them. You're probably cheating with more than one, at least any of the people that I know that have cheated on their wives. It's never just been one. But, so yeah, it is. Yeah.
That brings up another question. So if you run into somebody, male or female, doesn't matter, and they tell you that they've been married more than once, mm-hmm. how many times would they have to tell you that they've been divorced before, in your mind, you go, maybe it's you?
I'm going to say 2.
3?
Three seems logical that maybe it's them. Because, you know, maybe marry
like without
young,
asking
it just doesn't
them
work
what
out.
What they did, you know, like without asking, 3. Well, did you cheat? Did they cheat? Without asking any of that, if somebody was like, yeah, I've been married twice, you go, you start going,
okay, well, maybe.
Like, here's the thing. Like, if you're a guy or a girl and you've been married twice and both your partners have cheated on you, I'm going to tell you it's you. You're the problem. You're the problem. They cheated on you for a reason, not because they're shitbags or they're horrible people. They did it because they're not happy with their home life. You're probably never giving it up. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that statement of if you're not going to give it to them, somebody, they'll get it some other way is, I'm going to say that's pretty true.
It's human nature, right?
Yeah. Or they're going to look for some other way.
Yep.
Me, and if I don't get it for a while, I hit the bathroom. Like,
right. And there's always the ones, the people that, you know, end up marrying somebody, even though they've been cheating on them the whole time, thinking that, oh, I'm going to be married, they're going to change. People rarely change. You know what I mean? So there's that scenario. But and then the marry young people grow apart and
The fixers. The fixers are guaranteed to end up in divorce. I guarantee it. The fixers are either going to end up in divorce or they're going to stay together and their partner's going to cheat on them. Because you should not be marrying somebody to change them or fix them. Like, you see a lot of people that just, and I get it, the intentions are good. You're like, this person is, I can make them a better person. Like, I get the intention, but it's not going to go well. Yeah. And
what about the people that have a baby to save the marriage? How dumb is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to have a baby so that we can have a nice, long, healthy marriage. Nope. What you're going to have is a child that grows up and goes through a lot of therapy.
And hopefully two happy homes, but that statistically doesn't happen.
No,
unfortunately. Yeah. That's a tough one. Yeah. Three or four, I guess, if it's the same person, you know, and then you sprinkle in some more odds where, you know, the older you get, you're probably getting with other people that have already been divorced, because if they've either never been married, which has to be a huge potential red flag if you're in your 40s, 50s, maybe 60s and never been married.
I'm not going to lie to you. If you're in your mid to late 30s and you haven't at least been engaged, to me, that's a red flag. Like, how many serious relationships have you been in? How long have they lasted? And why are they not lasting? Like, that's a red flag. Like, are you not capable of being in a relationship? And if so, why? What about you? Like, if you're 35 years old and you're telling me, well, I'm just waiting for the right person.
But not moving anywhere. And you still live in the same town that you grew up the whole time?
Yeah. You're not waiting for shit. You're making excuses, and then you're going to eventually call yourself the victim. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to become downtrodden and be like, nobody wants to love me. What the fucking, listen, there's 800 people in your town. They all know each other. Like,
and you're probably related to most of them.
Yeah. Maybe you should move away from there.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. What's your weather like right now? Like, are you guys getting hit with the snow, or is it mainly cold?
Right now, today, cold. We had the snow, and like I said, not to be, you lived in Minnesota, so when you're like, oh, you don't have that much, we got like a foot and a half, maybe 2 foot, which is manageable for us, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's not a ton of snow, but it's kind of enough where people can snowmobile. The snow belt is the area that gets that heavy lake effect, the same stuff people are seeing during the Bills games, stuff like that. Obviously.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
See, they're getting 4 or 5 foot, which still manageable, still kind of a pain in the ass, you know, because you got to get somewhere to go with the snow. But then it went from that to the cold. So like the last 3 or 4 days, the high's been like 5.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of friends that say that they got some snow and they were happy about it. And then it just immediately like started to melt.
Oh.
It started to melt and then the temperature dropped and the wind picked up and everything. It looks like snow. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Looks like snow. But if you go to touch it, it's just like touching concrete.
Yep. Ugh, that's the worst, especially when you fall.
Have you seen the photos and videos popping around about the Lake Michigan right now?
Mm-mm.
Oh, look that up. Holy, it looks almost all of the coast of Lake Michigan looks like a damn sculpture, like looks like a marble sculpture.
Oh, the striking ice formations. Let's go over to the BBC. Oh shit, that's cool. Let's throw this up on the screen.
They got they got so they had freezing temperatures and rain and then wind gusts of over 30 miles an hour causing like instant freeze.
Yeah, we had that pretty recently, but not to this extreme. We got the rain. We had areas that got 70 to 80 mile an hour wind gusts that actually that same Fort Drum that I was telling you about, the military base, they had reports over 80 mile an hour gusts.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting in that area state of emergency because they went from that, no power for the entire city. Then it followed with feet of snow.
How?
This is something out of like a movie.
Yeah. It's like the day after tomorrow.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So I don't know how we got so lucky where I'm at. Was it last week or the week before?
It was everybody 2 weeks ago with that tornado
that
or whatever.
Huge storm. Yeah, we had multiple tornadoes touch down around us. We were getting wind gusts of 75 miles an hour, sustained winds of around 25 to 35 miles an hour. I didn't have a single tree go down.
Really?
Not a single one. This is the first year I've ever not had a tree go down because the rain was heavy or the winds were heavy. I think all my trees that could fall in the past, you know, seven
the
years
weak ones
that we've
are
lived
gone.
Here.
Darwin, I think, tree I think, Darwinism.
Yeah, the weakest are starting to thread themselves out.
What was crazy, though, why the storm was even worse with all the power lines, trees falling down and stuff up here, is it came out of the southeast where normally everything is like west and everything. So I guess the trees in telephone poles and stuff, this is what I've been told. I guess it kind of makes sense, but they're not used to being weathered that way. So they're used to going this way. And as soon as they go the other way, then they just cripple.
That makes sense.
I don't know where you were in 1998. If you were like military or if you were,
I was in Bosnia.
Bosnia. We got a terrible ice storm in 98. That took out a ton of the area from like us all the way up to Maine. And I don't remember if you ever heard about it. It was like we were without power for almost a month. And I mean, it was just catastrophic. I mean, some
that
of these
was,
pictures.
Because Atlanta was completely under ice.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, technology wasn't good. We didn't even have a computer or anything at this time. So like we couldn't really see how devastating it was elsewhere. But
no,
I mean,
The wife and I got stuck at a hotel waiting for my flight from we were in Virginia when I came home on leave from Bosnia because that was November. And I got stuck waiting.
January.
Yeah. And then I made. And then there was another one that hit the entire East Coast. Atlanta got fucked over on this one. And that was in January 2005.
Okay.
There's a really bad one. And we got stuck in a hotel again, waiting to fly from Roanoke to Atlanta, a week stuck in that hotel because all of Atlanta was just under a thick coat of ice.
Yeah, it seems to cycle every so many years. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I'm looking up pictures. This is the ice storm of 05 in Atlanta or Georgia. There was just chaos.
Yeah,
because you know what I mean. They're not built like us, and we thought we were good to go, but not so much.
And listen, if you're from the north, okay, I am from the north. All right. If you're watching this podcast and you're from the north and you're like, oh, bunch of babies can't handle cold. Shut up. Okay. Listen, shut up. They're not designed to handle it down here. They don't have ice trucks. They don't have the snow plows.
The salt, the sand.
Nowhere I've ever lived in the north has ever dealt with ice storms like that. Snowstorms, blizzards, absolutely. But ice storms like that, I've never walked outside of my house in Minnesota in 19 years of living there. Or the 4 years that I lived in Alaska and walked out to a 4-inch thick sheet of ice covering everything.
Yeah, to put that in perspective, you have 4 inches of ice on a lake or a body of water, you can go out and ice fish.
Yeah.
Because the water's so goddamn, or the ice is so strong. I mean, that's ridiculous. And not to mention their houses. I mean, people in the South, like my buddy Burley, he lives in Houston. and they're getting cold and ice and stuff, and their houses aren't insulated to be able to protect it. They almost have to shut off water to, yeah. you know what I mean? To, so pipes aren't bursting. He still had a pipe burst. And I mean, it's down there. And like I said, I don't know a ton about plumbing, but a lot of the stuff that they were using, especially in his house, because he sent me pictures and I was kind of helping him, is just like older style CPVC in these huge houses.
And that's what our house is. Our house is all PVC. So if it gets super, cold, there's a reason why, you know, you got to find that sweet spot on the faucet. So it's just whoop.
Yep.
Whoop.
Keep it moving just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, like up here, like the manufactured homes and stuff are really the only ones that use the CPVC pipe. Up here, a lot of it is either, you know, if you have the money, whether it's copper or PEX and stuff like that, where it's a little more flexible and resistant to cold. But again, it's just different. But you know what? The Amish have it right. They never have a pipe burst. Never once have we had somebody come in and say, hey, my pipe burst. You know,
What do the Amish use? Do they use copper piping?
They don't have any running water.
Oh, yeah. It's all wells.
Wells, they have a well, they hand pump it, they heat it up, and they usually, from what I understand, because, you know, they live all around me and you know, people, you know, have them help on farms and stuff back in the day before said, you know, other help has came in and is cheaper than the Amish, you know, maybe from places like Guatemala or something, allegedly. And
allegedly,
like on Sundays, you know, whether, you know, it's church day and stuff like that, they would typically go, they'd heat up the water, put it in a tub, and the family would share the same bath water. They'd just fly through it. That was like the day they showered, and they would just get through it. Lots of wood stoves. And because I was actually talking to somebody the other day, I'm like, my buddies and stuff, they all have like the outdoor wood boilers and, you know, maybe have wood stoves, and you see big stacks of wood in their yard and all over the place. I never see anything with the Amish ever. They're all over the house. So the only thing I can think is maybe they're all down in the basement and it's in the basement to do it. But you would think the wood stove would want to be on at least the main level.
Well, for like a lot of these houses, but. Right, but for like a lot of these, so my father-in-law lives in Virginia, and he's got a wood stove to heat the house, mm-hmm. and it's actually, I mean, he's got to be close to 2,600 square feet, about 2,300 square feet in his house, and it's all wood stove, and he's got the piping runs through the entire house. Like, obviously, you've got the main stack, which is going to take the soot and everything else away, but then he's got the rest of the piping goes through the house that carries the heat. And I'll tell you what, man, I would have never guessed that house is heated, because you walk in that house and it is warm in the winter.
Oh, yeah. They throw it out. And some of them have multiple wood stoves that they do, you know, and they use them for cooking as well. You know what I mean? The old, like an older style one, which I get it. But they're always working. I've never seen Amish cutting wood, and they must do it. But it's just like I never see those huge stacks of wood. I never see them out there. Obviously, they don't have chainsaws and stuff. I don't see them, you know, whatever saw they're using to cut them down. Like, it's just a weird thing. You know, they have to use it, but how what are they doing that's so much different than my buddy's doing it?
Well, I mean, and most of them live on plenty of land.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think you'd see him at least hauling it.
Hauling big logs, cutting them down. Like, I know they must have to. And, you know, it's probably, I'd have to imagine, something that, you know, the kids are probably doing. You know what I mean? They're having the younger generations like, hey, go to school for a couple hours a day and then go cut and stack wood and help in the garden, stuff like that. You know, they're keeping busy, but it's like, where the hell is all guy? So, and I've been driving. There's legit an Amish house that's 2 miles one way and a mile and a half one way. And I keep looking. I'm like, where the hell is all their wood stack? I'm looking like a creep.
Now,
and I'm just
it's going to bother me.
I'm gonna go up to my boy John up the road and be like, listen, man, he's a cabinet maker, super busy guy. He has a beautiful workshop, and if you ever need some cabinets, hit him up. John, give him a call.
Okay, so the Amish, this is interesting. So the Amish tend to stack their wood in the shape of teepees, or like almost circular.
They do that with hay. I've never seen that with wood.
Yeah. Like
they
the
do
wood,
their hay
it's almost like it looks like a big ball, and like the wood is like shoved in sideways. So it's like the lengthwise goes into the center.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. I saw that first picture of the shaker.
Yeah.
Never seen one. And there's a lot of Amish around here.
Yeah. So,
it's got to be some fancy stuff somewhere else.
Yeah. A lot of the other photos I was seeing, it looks like they shape them up like kind of like teepees. So
interesting. Yeah. Yeah, we just, like I said, we did the enclosed porch on our back thing. And it's funny, the wife today, she's like, we should just sit out on the back porch by the fire. It'd be so nice. A good day for it. I'm like, it's 7. Yeah, but we have the plastic around. The heat will heat most of it. I'm like, there's none of me that wants to bundle up to sit around this. Like, we have a solo stove. It's pretty warm. It's not going to just instant heat. I'm like, I'll tell you what. Go ahead. You can enjoy it. I'll come out every once in a while with a glass of, you know, Fat Baby Bourbon, hang out for 20 minutes until I'm freezing because it's 7 out. She's like, we'll be by the fire. And I'm like, okay. But football's on at 3 o'clock.
Just get yourself one of those heated hoodies, man.
I should. But like, I was like, we have all this wood. I'm like, I understand. We also have summer and this and that. And it all started because I've been looking at wood-fired pizza ovens. And how they're fairly affordable, and how it would just be a cool thing to bust out every once in a while. And they can use charcoal or wood.
I have seen failure after failure video of those pizza ovens lately.
Yeah. I mean,
just like the biggest thing that I, because like the pizza's not sliding off. I'm like, yeah, that's because you have to flour your wood peel. Paddle.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't just throw dough on it and expect it to slide. That's.
And you need to be able to have a gauge of how hot the pizza stone is. You know what I mean? You can't throw it in when it's 300 or 400, like a conventional oven. It needs to be 550 to 600, 700, that as hot as it can. And the one that I was looking at was from a company, Pizzello or whatever, P-I-Z-Z-E-L-L-O. They have a nice combo because my friends at the Dude Network, they're giving one away on Instagram or Twitter or something. And I was like, oh man, I just want to, they're actually like 42% off right now. They use charcoal, they use wood. And it's the same thing. So I watched a bunch of videos, and you can use it as just like a little square bonfire or like a little pit and not have the pizza thing. It separates. And the guy made some decent ones. I really love, he broke down like 4 different styled doughs and different thicknesses and stuff. And he goes, it definitely doesn't work with a thicker dough. And he had the thermometer, and it was right around 550. He threw a log on right before to do it. But then so much smoke came in that it gave it like, you know, the top of the dough didn't really crisp up and a little coloration, which I'm like, not a lot of people really get into it. But he said the bottom crisp was fantastic. And he's like, you know, you want to do this obviously for a hobby, do it once in a while. He goes, it's going to make a good pizza. Is it as good as the other ones I own? No, but those are also $3 to $6 to $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, for a hobby, you just want to do it with the kids, this and that. He goes, it's going to be hot enough. And he goes, get the 12-inch one. So you're making little personal pan style ones. He's like, it's going to work perfect. Good
something
pizza.
Perfect for sitting around the fire out, you know, on a summer night or something like that. And
throw a couple pieces of wood on this. It's going to start fairly quick. Throw it in there. And it was, like I said, it was a good video. I forget the guy's name that did it. It might even been the one like on an Amazon review, but I'm pretty sure I YouTubed it. But there's some cool stuff, and all that shit's getting more and more affordable.
Yeah.
But that's the one I was looking at.
Things need to get more affordable because
other things, you know, like
my pay certainly hasn't gone up. Like, dude, so, you know, the big rage over the past decade or so really is these tiny houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I fell into it. It was on Instagram. I fell into the tiny house rabbit hole, like the tiny house videos rabbit hole on Instagram. Now, check this out. We saw a video last night of an RV, right? Like a trailer, 44 foot, had 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, an entire, like a whole ass kitchen, like a nice, like a family room, like it, nice. It was really nice. $60,000, $480 a month. I was like, I looked at the wife. I said, we might have a new mother-in-law suite getting delivered, you know, or something that I can use, or Peyton can go and have his own place, but still be on the property, you know, if he doesn't want to be in here. And I was like, that's not a bad option. And then I was like, well, but what about a tiny house? So I'm looking at these tiny houses, 480 square feet, has all the same things that this RV does, right? And the RV was hooked up to water, hooked up to gas, hooked up to electricity, right? Like it had all the same amendments that my house does.
Looked at a tiny house. You could easily add on a solar option in those very affordably, the RV ones.
Looked at a tiny house, 480 square feet, $125,000. I'm like, isn't you can go fuck yourself. Stupid. I live in a 2,400 square foot home on 3 acres, and it only cost $20,000 more than that.
Yep. I was telling the kids, I said, I have a rule of thumb because truck prices, vehicle prices are through the goddamn roof too.
Oh, and ridiculous.
Because like, the, you know, we have an almost 15-year-old, and obviously when they become 16, and the whole drive-in shit and talking about this and that. And I was like, yeah, you know, with gas and insurance, I gave a listen, which opened their eyes pretty quickly how much it to have a vehicle. But I'm like, even if I was to go buy a new vehicle, I have a rule of thumb. I will never spend more than I did on my house on a vehicle.
No.
And there's people that, I mean, because there was this whole talk about the Tesla Cybertruck or whatever it is and the price tag on those. And then, you know, you're looking at these, we went from Toyota to Ford to Chevy. And I mean, these trucks, like with decent options, this and that, they're like $80,000-$90,000 brand new. And it's like, holy shit. No way. Like, and I'm not a vehicle guy and never will be. Like, some people just love having new, nice, like, cool. Like, that's what you love. That's what you're passionate about. You feel cool, drive. Like, me, I could give a shit. My truck's paid off for. It's a 2017. Stoked about it. Hope the fucking thing lasts for another 200,000 miles.
Yep. Like, I've got a 2018 Toyota Camry, and I've got a 2019 Jeep. Was it? The Jeep Trailhawk, Jeep Compass Trailhawk.
Oh yeah, 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 yep. I know.
I am gonna own those vehicles until they are fully paid off, plus easily another 5-6 years. Dude, we are still getting. Toyota keeps sending us, hey, we're looking at your car, low estimate. We'd like to give you $17,000 on your trade in. We maximum of $22,000. I'm like, because I mean, the car itself was, I think, $29,000, but I rolled off I got such a good deal. I rolled off the lot at like $25,000.
Yep.
So I literally rolled off the lot lower than what the sticker price was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so got an amazing deal, and that gets paid off this year. And Toyota's just like, hey, we're really hurting for used cars. We're really looking to purchase yours. I'm like, you're hurting for used cars because your new cars are so fucking expensive. Everybody's buying a used car. So you can't keep them on the lot because that's what people can afford. And your used cars are overpriced.
Big time. And they're going to give say 19 for it. Then they're going to flip it for 22. And then they're going to have you into a new vehicle for 40. And then your payments are just... It's like, people that are like that, like that don't kind of think like us and will own a vehicle, have no payment. At some point, maybe just like, I know some people that they lease a vehicle because they're like, I'm always going to have a car payment regardless. But now I get to drive something new every year. I get to, you know what I mean? Have a different one, whatever I want. And they lease them for, 2 years, maybe three a year, whatever they, afford and how much they drive. And they're like, I know that I'm always going to have a payment for life.
Leases can be dangerous, though.
True.
Because you go just a little bit over that mileage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never looked into it just because of me. Like, my brain is like, pay it off, drive it, and then when you need to. But up here, like, I never saw the point because with all the snow, the salt, the sand and stuff, it just beats the shit out of the vehicle. And I'm not going to drop $20 or whatever it is to car wash it every week. It's just going to rust out. And I've accepted it.
So the wife and I are currently looking for, like a used, mid 2000s, so like your 2010, 15, timeframe, like a Chrysler Pacifica, because we have the Danes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can get them into the Jeep, but they don't like being cramped in that Jeep together. Hey, no. You put two great Danes in a Jeep Compass. It's got plenty of space in it, but I mean,
not when they stand. Mini ponies.
Yeah. Because I mean, their backs are 32, 33 inches at the shoulders. There's not 33. Like, they go in there and they're like semi cramped down. So
are you like me? Like, I wouldn't be comfortable ever putting my dog in the back of a truck. Like,
no,
unless maybe I was to tie it down. But then what's the point? Like, I see people all the time and I'm like, cool, you train them, but it only takes that one. Like, listen, my buddy had a dog. It was his farm dog. It was a Blue Heeler mix that has been around forever. That thing would never leave his side. You could tell it one thing. It always listened. And then just one day, it was in the back of the truck. It was close to home. Knew he was at home. Truck stopped because a vehicle was coming on. So he thought it was time to get off the truck. Jumps, gets hit, passes away. Like, sad, sad moment. Fucking
so
awesome
I
dog.
Have,
but still.
I have a story for that.
Yeah.
I used to own a Chevy S10. You know, like mm-hmm. It was like a 97 Chevy oh, S10.
I loved my S10. Loved me.
With that, the third door.
Yep.
You know, the little in third the little, door, but it wasn't a full-size cab. Yeah, it wasn't a full-size cab.
Down. Fucking
love
that
The
truck.
Back seat actually faced perpendicular to the other two
yeah,
seats.
Yeah, you looked at each other. Yep, they fold up. Oh, yeah.
So, and we'd had boxers, and we were driving the boxer to go back. Like, this is probably about a month and a half, two months after we bought the boxer. We went to go, we called the owners, be like, hey, would you like to see how he's doing? You know, we'd love to bring him back to come and see you. Mm-hmm. Because as people that bred dogs, we liked seeing our animals growing up and see how they're doing and everything. So I'm driving there, and thankfully I'm going slow as shit. But he was in the back. Yep, there it is. There it is. So he was in the back. He was in the truck bed, and I had him on his leash. Well, he was on a harness, and I had the harness on a leash. And what people don't think about is you can have it on a short lead. That's not going to prevent the dog from jumping out. And that's what I found out, because he got so excited seeing that home. And mind you, I'm just going up the drive. I'm like right on the driveway. I just catch it in the rear view. I see this dog whoop go to jump out, and I slammed on the brake, and you hear this doop, up against the side of the vehicle. But what had happened is he jumped out, and his harness hit, but his face just went real quick, scraped against the, it was just low enough for his face to hit the ground. So of course now I'm bringing him up to this guy's house. I was like, oh, he's doing great. Fucking whole side of his face is bloody. I was like, listen, let me explain what happened. I said, literally this just happened on your driveway.
He's had a great life except for the last 3 minutes. I mean, other than that, fantastic. Man, that's, yeah, I just could never, I mean, obviously that story with that, but I just couldn't
I'm
imagine.
More willing to sit. I'm more willing to sit in the back of a truck than put my animal back there.
Yeah, and we have a bigger dog now. I've always had smaller dogs, but now that we have that the mix that we have, not quite the Dane, but he's pretty big. And like I said, we used to put him in the middle of us in the front, and now it's like, you are way too goddamn big, bud. I don't like now when we go camping, I have a Silverado, so we have two dogs, three kids. You know what I mean? Me and the wife.
Jesus.
God damn. Like, where do we put the big ass dog now? Like, he's going to have to sit in the middle and the little dog's in the back and the little dog pukes.
Time to get that fifth wheel, bro. And the dog just sits back in the fifth wheel while you're driving.
Well, we have the camper, and I mean, technically he could I'm like, I couldn't do it. Cause it has the slide. So it's not wide.
Oh,
he
yeah.
can chill, but, and we have him kennel trained because I mean, his breed that I'm drawing a blank with the breed is, but he's known for, like, they like to be denned. They like to have their own space. And when they're out and bored, they're destructive. And I'm like, well, that's, and part of it's a lab. Oh, it's Newfoundland.
Oh, Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Great dog.
So the Newfoundland. Yeah. Oh, he's a good dog. I mean, he's approaching a year now. So he's starting to calm down. He gets bored. Like the other day I walked in, we have a sleeping bag that's on our kitchen floor just so the dogs can lay down and not be cold in our old farmhouse. And I get him out in the morning. He's got half of the goddamn sleeping bag through his kennel. He's able to get his fucking hand and just kind of, I watched it on camera, and he went, got it in, got half of it in, laid on half, and then chewed all the stuffing out of it. I'm like, you motherfucker. He's got a kennel full of toys, but that was more, and I can't blame him. I mean,
we ended up laying down a futon on the floor for the Danes. Cause first of all, I can't afford. So the futon mattress, I think cost us like $65 to get
dog
them a dog bed. that would fit a Great Dane is like $219. I'm like, you can go fuck yourself.
Yep.
I got a full size futon mattress. It fits both of those dogs and they are happy.
Yeah, shit. And even if you bought something on Marketplace for a dog, like, sorry, this is a used futon that you probably were hooking up with your significant other on for a while. Who cares? The dog's going to be on
works
it.
Great for a dog.
Yeah. And like you said, yeah, we looked at, because we actually just took in a drop off cat that didn't have a lot of life left in it. That thing was skin and bones. And checked it over. It's a dude cat that was fixed and everything. And our youngest was always like, I know everybody else has a cat. So we brought it in and she's been nursing this thing back to health with food and it's starting to do better finally. But it's like we were looking at cat beds and dog beds, this and that. And like you said, just like a basic cat bed was like $35. And I'm like, dude, not that that's expensive, but it's like, I was like, dude, we have blankets and so many sleeping bags. Your cat doesn't need a cat bed. So we found this little, it's like this pop-up thing. It converts into a bed and then it pops up and it's almost like they have like a little tunnel or a den to lay in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that cat fucking loves it. It just hides in there. It eats, pukes, shits, and then hides in this thing. But we don't know how to introduce it to the other cats yet. And I'm like, so we've been doing the towel trick to try to see if they'll get, apparently there's a thing on the internet where like the one cat will lay all over it. Then you put the towel outside. Oh. So the other, so they get used to their smell and their presence,
the scent.
And we've been feeding them with the door in between them. So they are getting used to, I think, eating. We're going to try it for 2 weeks and then be like, all right, let's see what happens. They're all dudes. So I was like, he needs to build up some strength because even if he gets in a fight, like the two house cats we already have are, would put a pummel on him. So I'm like,
got some heavyweights at the house, do you?
We have one who's like a dominant, just fucking dickhead. Like you look at him and you know that like mean cat meme with the mean cat, like that is him. Like he just looks like I'm ready to fuck you up at all times, every day, anytime. Let's go. And the Our other one's cat, kind of like,
I've got a cat who used to be an indoor cat. He's now an outdoor cat. And I'll send you a video immediately following the podcast here. But he chose to be an outdoor cat. He went outside and said, this is nice. I'm staying here. And I brought him back in once because we were like, hey, the weather's really bad. It's like it was an absolute downpour. The temperature dropped down to like 40 degrees. I brought him inside and all he cared about was trying to get back out. So I was like, all right, let me pick him up and I'll put him back outside. And he's got a nice little, we made a hut out of a Rubbermaid, like a giant, like a jumbo Rubbermaid bin. It's like, it's like 2.5 feet tall. So I cut that out. I lined it. You know, he's got a heating pad in there, like one that just stays on all the time. He's got his food and water bowl out there. So he's happy, but he's become my livestock guardian. He patrols with me. Every morning,
awesome.
Every night, you'll see him walking around with the chickens. Like he just saunters through the chickens and the turkeys during the day.
I run this bitch.
He follows me every night. He's like, I'll go outside right as it starts getting dark. I'll get my stuff on. I'll open up the front door and he's just sitting on the front steps like, you ready? I'm like, all right, man, let's go. And he'll walk right behind me or right in front of me, just kind of meow, meow the whole time. So I have a conversation with him. I think it's healthy.
I mean, it's healthy for everybody.
I talk to my animals like I talk to anybody else. Like I don't baby talk animals. I talk to them like I'm having a human conversation.
I don't baby talk humans, let alone animals.
But there's people that find that weird. There's people that find it weird when you talk to your animals like a regular person.
Yeah, well, those people probably drink their bourbon without ice. And let's be honest, you know, it's one way or the other. But I just looked at the clock, brother, and it's the first time I've looked at it, and we hit our time. I like this. I like this new format. And I think it's going to continue to evolve as we have a conversation, like I said, and kind of gear away. And I guess we didn't really say this live, but we were talking backstage like, TikTok Tuesday, like it was a thing. Like TikTok isn't what it used to be. Our love, our creative stuff that I know me personally, and you know, like you're doing some stuff on there, which is I think more geared for fun for you. But like our love for TikTok isn't what it was 3 years ago, where, you know, everybody wants to see these videos. And maybe it's still, we still show some videos, because finding those true gems of TikTok is a little bit harder. So maybe you can come in here and see some of them, but it's just not what it was to a lot of us, the viewers. So like that's why we're kidding around with Turkey Trot Tuesday and Thunder Tank Tuesday and whatever else we come up with, True Talk Tuesday. You know what I mean? It's just, it's going to be, you know, potentially Euban, Brandon, Toby, Richie, like the boys who are available. And obviously it's not live. You're not watching this live, but it could look like it's live, because I think I'm still going to potentially use that free year of StreamYard I have and take this pre-recording and put it as like a, just throw it out there on the social so people can watch it. But like, yeah. I said, we didn't even show a TikTok video today. It's just because we want to have a conversation with the boys, and maybe it evolves. Maybe like Toby has an idea, Richie, and we're like, let's gear this towards this. That's fun.
What I really liked about today, and I'm going to be completely honest, nothing was scripted. Nothing was set. You know what I mean? Like, by that, I mean, like, nothing was organized. We didn't have like a list of things that we were going to talk about. We just talked. And then if something sparked us going, hey, that reminds me, have you thought about, you know, and you just get, I like that.
Yep.
I like that format. I like that format of just, it's more, I think it's to me, it's a more enjoyable or watchable kind of format. Because it's like sitting around kicking the shit with your friends.
And that's exactly what, you know, we've kind of done the other one with Euban and Brandon. It's just kind of, there's points in case the conversation stalls. Yeah. But when you're with your boys, like, you don't go into a bar, you don't go into a party with a list of things and being like, okay, well, if Toby asks about a dog, I'm going to do this. And then, if Richie says something about comedy, I want to talk about this, that Shane Gill, like, you know, it's just genuine, it's just free flowing. And that's why I said, you know, it's hard to rebrand, you know what I mean? It's Triple T, but Triple T is what it is. Just take some funny words that are big T, and that's what it is. We're going to spill the tea on Triple T or something, you know, like
Triple T is like whatever whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. Tired teacher talk. You're a tired teacher. Come chat with us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you change tires for a living. You know, changing is a C. Tire talk Tuesday. We're going to talk about tires someday, you know? So, but either way, no, I'm excited for it. And like I said, it's not only is it easier for us to not have to prepare anything. We just sit down with a mic, grab a beverage on our own time, whenever it works out for us. And we get a conversation going. And if people want to watch it, cool. If not, well, I'm having a beer with you and whoever else shows up on a Sunday. And that's what this whole thing's about, is just hanging out with dudes. And because we don't live anywhere near each other, we can't just go over and be like, hey, want to have a beer by a bonfire today?
It'd be way worse if it was us sitting around in person drinking.
Someday when we're super rich, we're going to have a, where did we decide our studio was going to be? Wasn't Ohio.
Kentucky? You guys kept saying Ohio, but Kentucky would probably be a better fit. It's prettier in Kentucky.
Yeah. I mean, I've already told the kids, I said, you know, in about 7 years now, like, I'm out of here. Like, I can go. The youngest is still in school, but she's like the one that would be okay, I think, moving, like very social. So I'm like, once that happens, we're out of here. And that's when we build the studio. So 7 years from now, when this podcast hits 11 or 12 years, we're going to have a central studio. Or maybe I've always loved North Carolina. Maybe I just find my way down there.
I'll just build some more land, and part of it can just be, we'll have the studio built on that, and then
I buy a warehouse, and I just have part of it where I live and part of it where is a studio, and we'll figure that out. We got time. I got a buddy in Outer Banks. Maybe he's got some cool places out there.
Have you ever seen that show? You don't want to go there.
I haven't. I went down. No. Yeah, I went down. I think he got married down there. I went down there. It was nice. I mean, we just stayed on the beach the whole time in like a rental place. I didn't go out in the city.
Yeah,
but I forgot there was a show about it, so I want nothing to do with that. But he's a chiropractor out that way, so if anybody needs some back crack-a-lacking, hit him up. Moorhead City Chiropractic, I think is what it is. But either way, Toby, can't thank you enough, brother. It was good catching up, and we'll be doing this again soon. Maybe you'll see some more faces, maybe you won't. I like the conversation. It's funny, like Richie last week, we played like four videos. We were just having a conversation. Today, we didn't even play one. Like, the three of us get together, it's going to even be crazier, so...
Yeah,
fucking love it. I love it. So, all right, that's all I got. Check out the friends of the show. Check out all the Toby stuff on the socials. Check out Richie, Jet Entertainment Tonight, and Copper John's, Fat Baby Bourbon, Deluxe Edition Network. Check them all out if you want. If not, the hell with it. Then thanks for listening. I don't know why you're still here, but we appreciate the hell out of you. So see you next week.
Go home. Sometime. It's over. Whenever.
It's over. We got to go. I mean, we can just... We got to go. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.